Praise the Lord. What a joy to see so many of you come to celebrate the birthday of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Surely the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. It is His birthday we are celebrating. And why did Jesus come so many years ago? Why did God become man so many years ago? Because the Bible tells us God is love. Everyone say that, God is love. Now, may you turn to your neighbor just now, in case you do not know your neighbor, now you know. Because a smile makes a friend, amen? So once again, turn to your neighbor and say, God is love. Look at your neighbor the other side and say, God is love. I do not know what you've been hearing about God, but I want to know something. Above everything else that God wants people to know about Him, God is love. And not only is God love, God is for us. God is for you. God is not against you. The Bible, the Word of God tells us, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? What devil from hell can come successfully against you? What problem can hold fast its satanic grip on you when God, the Almighty God, is for you? But you ask the question, Pastor, how can you say God is for me? Well, the Bible says so. God Himself said so. He is for us. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us, if God, what shall we then say to these things? You can look at the scriptures up there. If God is for us, what then shall we say to these things? These things are problems. What are you faced with this evening? Is it marital problems? Is it physical problems? Is it financial troubles? Is it family? One of the children going astray, causing heartaches in your life? What then shall we say to all these problems? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say? God expects you to say something. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. God is for us. He's not against you. Now, I love those words. God is for us. Now, let's make it personal. God is for me. Who is for you? Wow. You know something? If the Prime Minister of Singapore is for you, would you say that's a great benefit? Yes. Now, if the President of the U.S. is for you, would you say that's a great benefit? But what does the Bible say? Who is for you? God, the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who flung all the stars in the heavens, the one who put all the diamonds, the sapphires, the gold, the silver in this earth, the one who made you and I in our mother's womb. God, the Almighty God, is for you. Amen. And notice the next word. God is. Is children. Lesson time. Is past tense or future tense or present tense? That means what? Even this day, 26th of December 2004, God is for me. God is for you. Amen? And when tomorrow comes, tomorrow becomes today. Like a child asked the father one time, you know, my daughter, Daddy, tomorrow we are going to the zoo. I say, yes. Then if tomorrow comes, you say tomorrow we go. No, tomorrow be today when tomorrow comes. But you say that tomorrow we are going, not today. I say, no, now I say today, tomorrow we are going. When tomorrow comes, tomorrow become today. But what do you say tomorrow we are going tomorrow? I say, no. You see, they have no concept. The problem with man is that man lives in this zone called either future tense or past tense. They worry about the future and they regret about the past, neither of which they can change. Only God can change your past and only God can change your future. We all live now. The year 2005 is not here yet. Amen. Let's live every day to the full. Jesus said, live one day at a time. God's promises is present tense for you. Amen. We worry about the future by saying, what if the year 2005 I get retrenched? What if? The magic words of worry for the future is, what if? What if things go bad in the economy and I cannot have my dream house or my dream car, whatever? What if one of my family members, I mean, reading the papers nowadays, they say one in every 10 Singaporeans will have this disease by the year 2005 and all that, and I'm worried, what if one of my family members or me come down with this sickness? I don't think we have the savings. What if? You see, we are living in the future now. And then the magic words about the past, about regret and feeling shame and feeling guilty about the past, are these words: if only. If only. If only I was born in the Lee family. Bruce Lee, Lily, Ali. If only I was born in a family of a billionaire in Singapore. If only I was born as Pastor Prince. Okay, there's no regret about that. If only I had married so and so. If only I had married Lakshmi instead of Kamala. There'll be no problems lah. If only. Then the future is, what if this happened? What if that happens? Then the past is, if only I had done that. If only I got my qualification for that. If only I had studied harder. If only, what if? It's like a dance, you know? What if only, what if? Indian dance. And now, it's forgotten. You never live in tomorrow, and you never live in the past. God has taken care of your past when Jesus shed his blood. God is for you today. You might say, well, Pastor Prince, there was a time many blessings happened to me. I knew then God was for me. Forget the past. God has new blessings in store. God is right now for you. And look at the third word. God is for. Not against. For. God is for you. God is not against you. Amen. Now I'm going to build on that. The last one. You. God is for you. Yes, even you. Now, Pastor Prince, I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I'm polka dot and I'm striped and I'm this. And I'm too many pimples. And God is for you. No qualifications. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why God is for you. Real quick. Number one. That verse I quoted just now, God is for you, because Jesus himself, when he walked on earth, he talked to a Pharisee one night whose name was Nicodemus. And Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's display that. For God so loved what? The world. When God in human flesh was talking to this Jewish teacher, the Jewish teacher had this idea that God's love is only for his nation, Israel. And he was a Jew. He thought that God's love was confined only to the Jewish people. What a remarkable statement he heard that night from the lips of God of Israel in human flesh, saying, for God so loved the world. That means you and I. Amen? That he gave his only begotten son. God gave his only begotten son as a proof that he is for you. And when God gave his son, were there Christians? Were there believers? No. The whole world was against God. The whole world were all a bunch of sinners. We were all sheep gone astray. How can there be Christians when Jesus has not yet died? So God loved us and God was for us while we were still in our sins. Think about that. If God loved us while we are in our sins, how much more now that we are his children? God was for you when God gave his son, and there was no one on earth that was righteous when God gave his son. Now the Bible tells us that some people will give their life in sacrifice for a good man. But who would give their life in sacrifice for a wicked man? It's almost like you have a favorite child, all right? Or one and only child. In my case, my little Jessica. If you tell me to give up my only begotten daughter for a wicked person, hey, listen, even for a good person, I'd rather let the good person die. How about you? Come on. For you to give up the very one you love, that means you must love the object of that love in a very great and everlasting manner. The fact that God gave up His Son, and He loved His Son. When Jesus walked on earth, the Bible tells us God opened up the heavens one day, and when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism at the River Jordan in Israel, God said this, "You are my beloved Son." And everyone that heard it, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Think about it. God is for you because God gave up His Son. Amen. And if God gave up His Son, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, after it says God is for us, who is against us? The Bible goes on to say, God who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall God not with Him also freely give us all things? This is the word of the living God. God cannot lie. If God gave up heaven's best, God will surely give you freely all the rest of His blessings. Amen. Then Pastor Prince, how come I don't see it? Because we don't believe God is for us. We are so slow to believe God is for us. When we sin, we do something wrong. We always think that God is against us. So that blocks our faith from receiving. How can you receive from someone that you think is against you? Sometimes we think people are against us when they're not against us. How many of you have friends before and for some reason overnight they change their attitude? They don't call you anymore. They don't visit you anymore. They don't find you out anymore. And later on you found out they thought that you had something against them. And now you are thinking they have something against you. So you both are separated, not because actually you're against one another, but you think. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You think too much." What do you think? Ask your neighbor. You think God is against you. And the very fact the Bible says we are enemies in our minds. Tonight, the Word of God declares God gave up His Son. That's proof, number one, God is for you. Amen. He gave His Son. That's the message of Christmas. Why didn't God just let us live our life in sin? Let the sin destroy our body, destroy our marriages, destroy our children, destroy us, and then we die, we all burn in hell. Why didn't God just leave us like that? Why didn't God just let man go astray? After all, God is God. God can make a whole new creation out of nothing. Why would God, the heavenly potter, when the clay has become bad, the clay has become flawed, why did God still want that clay? Why didn't He just let the clay go? Why don't God just let us all just burn in hell? It's because God is for you. He's not against you, He's for you. The devil has lied to you. Directly, the devil has whispered in your ear, God is against you. You have done too much wrong for God to be for you. Listen, my friend, we are to take this statement by faith, not by feeling. We are to say God is for me, even when there's no reason to think God is for us. Because God said so. Simply because God said so. God is for us. Amen. Proof number one, He gave up His Son. Proof number two, His Son died on the cross. And the Bible tells us it was God. Many of you, you watched that movie, The Passion. Many of you saw the sufferings that Jesus went through. But the biggest question in The Passion is not answered. Because that movie is just to show His sufferings. It cannot tell you the reason. The Bible says, Jesus bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And as a result, because the Bible says He became answerable for your sins and my sins. All of us have sinned. All of us. There's no such thing as a human being who has not sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us have broken all the Ten Commandments. Because for God, sin is not just in action, sin is in thought.
Amen. You say, Pastor Prince, I want you to know, I never sin. And I'm angry at you for telling me that.
Well, that is a sin. Unrighteous anger is sin. In fact, the Bible calls it murder.
Amen.
If you lust for a woman with your eyes, you don't have to sleep with her. The Bible calls it adultery.
Amen.
You hit someone on the road because the person did not signal or whatever, and you say, I wish that person's tires would go punctured. The Bible calls that murder. So, let's not go into detail, but the fact that all of us have sinned. There's no reason for God to be for us. But the Bible declares God is for us. So all of us, everyone under the sound of my voice, has sinned. And the result of that sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death, cut off from God. But the Bible tells us God sent His Son. That's God's way out. Can I have a good amen? Though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. I say hallelujah. Proof number two that God is for us is that on the cross, God bruised His Son, crushed His Son with condemnation, with lightnings of judgment, because He was carrying our sins. The same God who sent His Son that so pleased the Father, Jesus never sinned in thought, word, or deed, ever in His life. The Bible declares in Him is no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Yet on the cross, He suffered like no sinner suffered, because He became answerable at the cross for our sins. He came for the purpose of becoming the Lamb of God. So that on that cross, He becomes responsible for your sins and my sins. And because He became answerable for our sins, God has to be just and God has to punish our sins in the body of Jesus Christ. But God has a wonderful plan, and this was God's plan because God is for us. God tells Himself, because God is just, and any judge here this evening will know what I mean. God knows when He punishes our sins in the body of Jesus Christ, God knows He will never, ever, ever punish the same sin twice. Once in the body of Jesus Christ, then in our own body. He cannot do that and still remain just. Because our sins have been punished in the body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus suffered like no man suffered. Therefore, there is present tense, there is now no condemnation for those who believe in Christ. Why? Because Jesus became answerable for our sins. Jesus was condemned by His own Father for our sins. It's all part of God's plan so that you can live your life with no condemnation from Him. All your sins are paid. I said, all your sins are paid. When Jesus hung on the cross, it was like God took all your sins from the day you were born until the day you die. And although we live in the future, even the year 2004, God lives outside time. God is the one who made time. God is the one who declares Himself as I am that I am. He never declares Himself as I will be what I will be or I was what I was. God is a present tense God. God lives in the timeless zone. When Jesus died on the cross, He died outside time. Therefore, His death avails for all those who live before Him and all those who live after Him, you and I. So God, when Jesus hung on the cross, God, with perfect omniscience, God knowing everything, God whose eyes detect everything, no one can hide anything from God. God took all our sins in our heart. God took everything and our whole life of sins. God going to the future, the year 2004 or whatever year, God took all your sins of your entire life from the day you were born until the day you die. God took all your sins, all your failures, all your shortcomings, all your transgressions, all your rebellions, all your shame. God put it on Jesus Christ at the cross. And at the cross, the Bible says there was darkness for 3 hours. The heavens refused to give its light above His head. He looked around Him. Everyone was against Him. Except for His mother at the cross, His disciple, the whole world was against Him. When I was a young boy, I remember my mother and I were watching Ben-Hur. And then, you know, the last part, when there was lightning and thunder, when Jesus hung on the cross, my mom said, "Whoa, God is angry with the world for killing his son." Now, how many of you thought like that? My mom didn't know then, but she knows now. She's a wonderful mother, sitting over there, looking young as ever. That's where I get all my good looks. And the height from my dad. But my mom said, God is angry with the world. Actually, that part in that movie, when there was lightning and thunder and rain falling and there was darkness all around as Jesus hung on the cross, it's not God angry with the world. God was angry and pouring out his anger in the body of his son, because that body became answerable for all our sins. All the darkness was for him. All the lightning and thunder were for him. All the judgment was for him. And Jesus absorbed every judgment, every curse that is supposed to fall on you and me. He took in his own body instead. He absorbed everything that our sins deserve into his own body. And finally he cried after 3 hours of darkness, "It is finished!" And you know what happened when he cried, "It is finished"? That means all our sins are paid. God today, I say this reverently, listen carefully. If you believe in what Jesus did, God cannot, not that God will not, God cannot condemn you. Do you understand? Because God condemned your sins already. And it'll be a miscarriage of justice for God to condemn the same sin twice. It is called the law of double jeopardy. God has punished your whole life of sins already. You mean, Pastor Prince, the sins of the year 2005 has all been punished? Yes. Well, Pastor Prince, you preach like that, people will go out there and sin. People still go out there and sin. Amen. No, you preach like this, people will know how much God is for them. How much God loves them. Because Jesus says, whoever finds out they are forgiven much, they will love him much. Can I have a good amen? So listen, God proof that he is for you because he gave his son. Number two, God proof that he is for you because God condemned his son and made his son answerable for your sins and my sins. And Jesus came for that purpose. Can I have a good amen? You know, there's one verse in the Bible, in Isaiah, that always astounded me. I don't have a full understanding of it, about the sufferings of Jesus at the cross. It says like this, "It pleased the Lord to crush him." To crush his son for our sins. I ask myself, how can it please the Lord to punish his son, Jesus, for our sins? Until Jessica, my daughter, came along. And then I realized how much I love my little Jessica. And I remember one time, I think it was last year, she was 4 years old. We brought her to Disneyland. And there was a huge crowd, you know, the night parade, lights and all that. All her favorite Disney characters were there. And she was, though she's tall for her age, she cannot match all the adults standing in front. And let me tell you, the Japanese adults, they love Disney characters. We have one of them leading worship just now. No, she's not Japanese, okay. They all look like Angie. And they're much taller, and they block little Jessica. So you know what I did? I took her and put her on my shoulders. And boy, is she heavy. If you've seen my daughter, you know she's heavy. She's round everywhere. She's an all-rounder. And when I put her on my shoulder, I could feel the weight already. But you know what? The parade was I forgot how long it was. It felt like forever. And she was down there and I was going like this after a few minutes. I was looking down. I felt some parts of my body, the blood was cut off. I know doctors in this place will tell you, that's not good. All right, you risk sleep this. All right, insanity by having the blood cut off to your brain. But you know what? I knew as she was laughing, she was so happy. Just the sound of her voice. You know, being so happy and not knowing the sufferings of a father. After for a while, I was going like this. The daddy, stand straight. Oh. I had no heart to put her down. Why? Because she was so happy. I said, "Daddy, there's Cinderella. Can you see her? By faith." And I tell you this, when the last one came along, I said, move fast. I tell you, when I put her down, it was like, jubilee, freedom, liberty. Honestly, and I walked for a few days with the ache. Why did I do that? That's not a good example. But you know something? I did that because I love to see her happy. So that pain was no pain. It pleased me, all right, to do that to myself. Why? Because for the joy of seeing her blessed. Now, that is just a simple everyday illustration. It doesn't compare with what God did. But in order for God to be pleased, God must have seen the blessings that will come to you and your family by what Jesus went through at the cross. That's why the Bible says it pleased the Lord to crush him. Because God, that shows God's intense love for you. All you Jessicas. Because God loved you so much, it pained his heart to crush his son. Jesus suffered to be crushed, of course. But you know what? God suffered so that you will not suffer. Have you heard of that before? God suffering for you? Every religion tells you, you must suffer for your God. You must give up for your God. You must do everything for your God. Well, the Bible tells us God is for us and God suffered for us. What kind of people are you that God will give up his son for? Do you know how precious you are? When a woman goes shopping down Orchard Road, she goes to Takashimaya. Don't give the interpretation. That's the name of the shopping center. You go to Takashimaya and she sees a dress. It cost $200. I know ladies, nowadays it costs more. And she has in her purse $200. Now, all depends. Does she love that money or does she love that dress? Amen? If you're willing to part with that money, that means you love the dress more, isn't it? Now, think about it. God loved Jesus perfectly. No one pleased God like Jesus did. But God gave him up for you. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, "For me." Everybody, come on. Say, "For me." He died for me. You see, listen carefully, look up here. If you sit down there and say, "Pastor Prince, he died for the world, he loved the world," you are not personalizing the love of God for you. Do you know something? If you are the only person that ever lived, Jesus will still come down and go through all that hell for you. God's love for you is personal. Don't ask me how. I'm not God. How can God look at all these thousands of people and still know your name, your address, and your private concerns and worries that's going on in your heart and mind? How can God pay attention to everyone's prayer one time? But you know what? He does. That's why he's God. And you are not. Amen. When I go to God, I never find God says, "Hang on, Pastor Henry is here. He's been talking to me for 3 hours. God's line is never busy. God loves each one of us individually. But it is the one who believes it, that God's love is for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus gave his life for me. Jesus became answerable for my sins. And the one that believes in him in a personal way is the one that enjoys his personal favors and blessings. You must act as if he died just for you this evening to enjoy that personal touch of his love. Can I have a good amen? Reason number 3. The Bible tells us not only Jesus died on the cross, God raised his son from the dead. That's how we know God is for us. Romans chapter 4. The Bible says, "Therefore it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him." Righteousness, right standing with God, is imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses, and Jesus was raised because of our justification. Now look at the verse again before this. "Believe on him who raised up Jesus." Many a times we are told to believe in Jesus, but the Bible also tells us to believe on God who raised up Jesus. Sometimes Christians have this idea, Jesus is for me, Jesus isn't the Savior, God is the judge. That's a wrong thinking. God is not the judge today. God is the justifier. God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. There are Christians today, Jesus is a good guy, my Savior, my Redeemer. God is the judge. He's here to save me from God. No, this whole love plan, God sent His Son. It's God who sent His Son. It's God who punished His Son for our sins, for the joy of seeing you blessed and forgiven. It was God, after His Son has paid everything, God raised His Son from the dead. And the Bible says we are to believe on God who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. This same Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised because of our justification. In other words, God showed that He was for us when God raised Jesus from the dead. What does that mean, Pastor Prince? The fact, the same person who was answerable for our sins 3 days earlier on the cross, He was so separated from God, God punished Him for all our sins. The same person, Jesus, was raised by God from the dead and made to sit. Today He's seated at the Father's right hand, at the center of the universe in heaven today. He's seated at the Father's right hand. Think, the same person who bore our sins was raised without our sins. He will not be raised if He didn't do a perfect job of clearing you from your sins. The fact remains that God raised Jesus because Jesus did a perfect work in removing your sins from God's eyes. Your sins do not exist today in the eyes of Almighty God. You know why? They all went to the grave with Jesus. And for God to raise Jesus from the dead, that means what? It's a reward. If one speck of sin is still left on you or I or myself, God cannot raise Jesus from the dead. The Bible says He was raised because of our justification. What does that mean? That means God raised Jesus because all our sins are cleared. And God rewarded Him. The fact that Jesus is raised from the dead is like a receipt. A receipt for a payment made. That means the payment is accepted. God raised the one who did the work from the dead and made Him sit at His right hand, the center of the universe, the place of honor, and crown Him with glory and majesty. Jesus did not sit down at the Father's right hand because He is His Son, although Jesus is His Son. Jesus did not sit down because He is God, although He is God. Jesus sat down, the Bible says, because He has cleansed us from our sins. Hallelujah! God is for you! Amen! Reason number 4 is that He gives us the Holy Spirit. Once you believe in Him, you receive God's Spirit, and He dwells in you. Everywhere you go, God is. And God dwells in you to help you, to lead you, to guide you. And He's not there to nag at you. He's there to encourage you. He's the warm, friendly voice. Can I have a good amen? When God sent His Son, or rather when God gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke in a language that was for every person gathered in Jerusalem. From different parts of the world, they heard their own mother tongue because they said, we hear the language in which we were born. Not the language you learn, the language in you were born. The language you first heard your mother whisper in your baby years. That's the language the Holy Spirit spoke. When God gave the law on Mount Sinai, describing man's duty to God, God spoke in only one language, Hebrew. When God spoke about the message of grace, God spoke in many tongues for the world. Hallelujah! Can I have a good amen? Last reason. The proof that God is for us is that we have the Bible. Today we have the Bible. And the Bible tells us all those things you read just now. That God is for you. His Son came. His Son died on the cross. Bore your sins in His own body. Removed them from your life. So now the stage is cleared from your sins. What is left? God is going to bless you. We find all these truths in the scriptures. We find all this truth in the Bible. So the Bible is proof that God is for you. The existence of the Bible today is proof that God is for you. God wrote that Bible, listen carefully, God wrote the Bible for your success. God never wrote the Bible for His success. Trust me, God is very successful already. God wrote the Bible for your success in your married life, in your social life, in your career life, in your business life, in your financial life, in your spiritual life. God wrote the book for your success. You know, when something goes wrong, you go back to the user's manual or manufacturer's handbook. Well, God did not leave us without direction in life. God gave us the heavenly book, the Bible, and it's proof that God is for us. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to experience the love of God. Listen carefully. All these things that I've shared won't become yours if you do not claim it. Can I have a good amen? A great man of God many years ago, and it's many years, in fact, it was the 19th century. A great man of God went to a lady's house, a poor lady, and he saw, the lady was dying, and he saw on the wall of that lady's house an old script, piece of paper with writings on it. He studied it for a while, and then he turned to the lady and says, "Do you know what this piece of paper is?" The lady says, "Oh, that was many, many years ago. A very precious man that I used to work for. I was his mate for him and his large family. And you know, when he died, I was without a job, but he gave me this piece of paper." And the man of God says, "Lady, this piece of paper gives you a large portion of his property. And here she is living in abject poverty when she should be enjoying great prosperity." It's a true story. Is it possible for you to live like beggars when God is for you? Yes. Why? Like what I said just now, you think God is against you. You think God is going to punish you. And as a result, you cannot be confident in someone who is against you. And as a result, you live life without the love and the blessings of God. But tonight, you are hearing the truth. I've shown you from the scriptures that God is for you, not against you. Are you ready to stake your claim? Take that piece of paper and say, "I'm gonna take this paper, go to the bank, and get my riches that belongs to me." Come on. You ready for that? It belongs to you. Hallelujah. And when Jesus died on the cross, he gave you a blood-bought right to a life full of meaning, purpose, and abundance. He gave you a blood-bought right to walk in divine health all the days of your life, even in the midst of Singapore, when 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. God can keep you. Amen. You have a blood-bought right to prosperity. Even when the economy goes down, God can provide for all your needs according to his bank in heaven that never goes out. You have a blood-bought right. We get all these things not because we deserve it. We get all these things because Jesus shed his blood and gave us the right to it. Can I have a good amen? That lady did not deserve the blessings. She was given the blessings. We don't earn it. We just receive it. Smart people receive it. Singaporeans, all right, those in New Creation can answer this. If you see $100 bill on the floor and $5 bill, which one do you pick up? Huh? Come on. Y'all don't pretend like y'all not interested in this kind of thing. $100 note, $5 note, which one do you pick up? Both! Amen? Can I have a good amen? Do you get that money because you deserve it? No. Someone lost it. And usually, you know, notes don't have their address. Now, if you find something down here, please let us announce it. But it's in busy Takashimaya and all that, you just pick it up, isn't it? Well, God has given you much more than that. God has given you every blessing in Christ. And I want you to know something. Jesus died more than to just give you forgiveness of sins. He died to let you enjoy life to the abundance. Amen. Jesus said it this way. "I come." Why did you come, Lord? "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil comes to steal your peace, your relationship with your wife, your joy, your blessings, even your health. And he steals your finances. The devil hates you. God loves you. The devil is against you. God is for you because you were made in God's image. Many years ago, God made man in his image, the first man and woman. And the devil knows God is too powerful for him. But the devil hates man because man reminds him of God. So he attacks man. And unfortunately, man thought God was against him and the devil was for him, so he listened to the devil and committed sin. As a result, the whole world has gone into this curse. God never meant for you to die. Death is an enemy, and Jesus conquered death. My friend, Jesus says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. I can say it softer. So he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Would you like to receive that this evening and kick off the year 2005 with God's presence in your life, in your family, and God's goodness for you, God's heart beating in love for you? I got a word from God I want to share towards the end of the service. God spoke to me while I was preparing for this service today. But listen, right now, I'm going to give a chance and opportunity for those of you who have never made Jesus your personal Savior. That's the reason God brought you here today. You didn't come here by chance. Hey, listen. You did not come here by chance. Someone may have invited you. God brought you here. God knows what you are going through. God cares. God loves you. And God has brought you here today. He put it in your heart. He put it in your mind. I think I'll go to that church service. I think I'll go to that place my friend inviting me. I think I'll go. God put it there. You know why? Because God was preparing a blessing for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed all across this place.